They you know, the guy goes up to a high bridge or something like that, and he threatens to jump off the high bridge. Well, why doesn't he just do it? He goes up there and waits until he gets some attention and so forth, and it's making it all about me. You see, that's the whole concept, the sorrow of the world worketh death, is because what they're struggling with, it's all about me. I want some attention. Somebody pay attention to me. How come nobody pays attention to me? Well, I'll get their attention. Even if I have to go to extremes, I'll get their attention. I'll make them think about me. And see, that's self-pity. It's just self-centeredness. It's the flesh. Understand that? We don't condemn them. That's not the reason I'm saying this. We're not justifying their conduct. That's not the reason I'm saying this. I'm saying that the Word of God right here helps us understand the thinking process. The thinking process that will produce godly sorrow to repentance to salvation, as well as the opposite. A thinking process that will produce death and just no victory at all. Okay? Now, again, at verse 10, you can see verse 8 and 9, the Word of God came in. They read it. They thought about it. They realized that Paul was not out to get us. Verse 10, they had a positive response to the written Word of God. It produced a true change of mind and hence a salvation from that false condemnation, from condemning Paul or condemning themselves or self-pity, things like that. It saved them from that rather than the sorrow of the world that produces death. So that's all the internal. Now look at the external. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 is going to identify for us the external. Hold on just a moment, please. I'll be right back with you. Sorry about that. I'm not sure if y'all could hear that noise outside. There was a lawnmower and a weed eater going at my neighbor's house, and boy, it sure was distracting to me. I'm not sure if you could hear it or not, so I apologize for that. I had to go and shut a couple of windows there. Okay, so at any rate, you can see at verse 11 now how the Word of God working in them affected them, and it produced an external result. Here you go. He says, "For behold, this same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort." Now, watch this. He's going to go through it works inside them to work out of them. He says, "What carefulness it wrought in you." Now, see, there's internal. It produced in them a genuine care about their conduct. Sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, why should I care about it? I'm going to heaven. Why should I care about it? Everybody else does it." Well, in this case, these folks, it really produced them a carefulness. He says, "Yea, what clearing of yourselves." They thought it through. The bottom line is they thought it through and they fixed the problem and got it right. "Yea, what indignation." They actually now became kind of mad at themselves for allowing this sin to overtake them. "Yea, what fear." Now they realize that, wow, this gave a bad testimony to the name of Christ and to Christianity among the unsaved world out there. They were afraid because of the negative impact. He says, "Yea, what vehement desire." A desire to get it right. "Yea, what zeal." They went and got it right. "Yea, what revenge." They fixed the problem. He says, "In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." See that? The Word of God worked in them, and then when they believed it, thought it through, trusted what it said, then that generated power. And power that enabled them and allowed them, and upon which they went and fixed the problem. So that's what I'm saying. It works inside of them to work outside of them. And he says, "Yea," and he says, "In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." This is such an amazing passage of Scripture. Before we move on and finish up the chapter, I just want to say a couple of brief things about this. This is such an amazing passage of Scripture in that it gives us divine insight, God's insight, right into the inner workings of the inner man as as and if we will let the Word of God work in us. How the Word of God comes along, we read it, we realize that the Word of God is not out to cause us damage, but instead to help us in our edification, our growth, our spiritual walk. So we believe it. We respond to what it says. We let it produce in us this carefulness, this clearing, this indignation, this fear, this desire, and this zeal. Hence, we go and take action. You see what's going on there? That's such an amazing passage of Scripture, really powerful for detailing how the Word of God works. Look what Paul says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. Look at how he says it here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13. And we'll compare another couple of other quick verses here. Look over to 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and it says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth," watch this here, "the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That's 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8 through 11 there. Paul wrote the Word of God, sends it to the Corinthians. The Corinthians received the Word of God for what it was, the Word of God. And they believed it, and it worked in them. And it didn't just work, it worked effectually in them as they believed it. That's what Paul is detailing for us over here in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 8 down through verse 11 there. Look how he says it over in Ephesians chapter number 3 here. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3. Watch this. Ephesians 3:16. This is one of the verses that we studied at our recent conference. I believe Ron preached on this message. Look at Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, watch this, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. There it is again. The Word of God came along. They took it in their inner man, and it provided that strengthening, that empowerment in the inner man. Now look over to Colossians chapter number 1. Look over to Colossians chapter number 1, and watch what it says here. Colossians 1, verse 9 down to verse 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12 is the same pattern here. Colossians 1, for this cause, verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So there comes the Word of God in us. Here it comes now, verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." There's the external. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks, and so on. What I'm driving at is this. The Word of God comes along. We read it. We take it into our inner man by believing it. As we meditate upon it, as we let it get in there and kind of stew in a sense, almost like a slow cooker where it's cooking and ripening the fruit, whatever, well, all of a sudden, that power is being generated as we believe it. And as we believe it, it produces in us that care, that desire to clear, that concern about what was the effect on other people, a desire to fix it, a zeal, a revenge to get it right. The Word of God works effectually in you that believe. That's the pattern that Paul is detailing in 2 Corinthians 7. Now go back with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 7, look at verse 12. Let's try to wrap this up here. And again, we've already gone verse 12 down to verse 16. We already kind of went through some of this in the previous weeks. so we can probably hit this fairly quickly. He says, and if we don't finish, that's okay, we can do it next time. He says, wherefore, though I rode unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong. Here's why I rode. But that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. And they saw that. He wrote to them so that they would be aware of his care for them in the sight of God. And they did come to realize that. Okay? Therefore, verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Important statement there. Paul says, therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. It's interesting how. Think about this, friends. The Corinthians themselves were confronted by the document Paul wrote, which was the Word of God. And it turns out that because they thought it through, because they believed it was the Word of God, because they responded positively to it, even though it was addressing some sinful conduct that they were involved in, they got it right. They fixed it. And it actually provided comfort. Isn't that amazing? It comforted them. He says, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Imagine that. Imagine being refreshed by the Corinthians. I know so oftentimes when we think about the Corinthians, we do tend to, the primary thing that comes to our mind is the carnal Corinthians and so forth. And that's certainly true. But we want to keep in mind the fact that as you read 2 Corinthians, you begin to realize that, yeah, they had some problems, they had some difficulties, but wow, they're a whole lot like us. Yeah, they had some struggles in the flesh and carnality and so forth, but they really do seem to respond in quite a good way to the Word of God. They have a lot of things they have yet to work through. We'll see that when we get to chapter 12 and 13. But the fact is that to a large degree, they responded quite positively to much of what Paul said. And that response really produced a refreshing to Titus. He says at verse 14, for if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. Because he says, but as we spake, notice past tense, all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found the truth. In other words, when he encouraged Titus to go and talk and work with the Corinthians, he really boasted about the Corinthians to Titus. He said, you know, yeah, these guys have a lot of problems, but I have confidence that they'll respond in a good way. Just I need you to go over there, spend some time with them, encourage them, help them through these issues, and Titus, I think that they're going to do fine. And of course, that's what it turned out had happened. He says at verse 14 again, for if I have boasted anything to him of you, which he did, he says, I am not ashamed. He says, you guys didn't let me down. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found the truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you. But it really kind of adjusted Titus's affection towards the Corinthians as well. He probably went over there not quite sure what to expect. In a sense, of course, he was, you know, aware of what Paul told him, but you can see the effect was, verse 15, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you. See, there was a very positive effect on Titus. While he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him, he says, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. And so it was definitely a time of rejoicing, a time of refreshing. It's amazing. This chapter starts out with the Apostle Paul really going through some, down at verse 5 again, if you notice, he's troubled on every side without fighting within with fears. But as you progress through the chapter, there are two or three words in various forms that keep coming up again and again and again and again. It's words like comfort and consolation. It's words like refreshed and rejoice. And it's interesting how when we can be in the midst of affliction and suffering, being troubled on every side without our fightings and within our fears, if we will remember the Scripture, if we will go back to the Scripture and allow the Scripture to come and work in us and believe what it says, Well, even in the midst of that affliction and fears and sufferings and fightings and trouble, even in the midst of that, we will receive comfort and consolation. We will be refreshed by the Word of God, which in turn will produce rejoicing, joy and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're out of time here this morning. Let's open this up for any questions and answers that you might have. So if you have a question, then just click on the raise hand icon there. Trophimus, how are you doing today? Let me release the microphone here and we'll give it to you. Here you go. Hold on.
Good morning. What a needed message for believers. I appreciated your message today. Also, I appreciated the fact that in the telling of this, you share how God's word works in us in this area as well as many other areas, but the practical application of how the Word of God works in us to His glory. Another thing, Dan asked me to ask you, they lost 30 minutes of the recording time on your message this morning, and Dan can't type, I guess, so he asked me to ask you if you would mind reviewing Godly Sorrow in verse 10. But again, thank you, John. I appreciated your message this morning.
Trophimus, yes, thanks very much. It is an amazing passage of Scripture. So did I understand correctly that we missed part of the recording was missed when we were towards the beginning when we were going over Godly Sorrow? Did I understand that correctly? Maybe just put type a Y in there for yes. Oh, we lost the first 30 minutes? Okay. Dan, why don't we talk about it on Sunday? Let's see. Maybe I should go and listen to it and see what you did get, and what we'll do is next time. It's 2 minutes review, not quite sure. Let's talk about it on Sunday at church, and then let's figure out. If we have to reteach the whole class, that's fine too. We could do that next week. I had some. Obviously, there was some distractions here, the noise from the neighbor's lawnmower and so forth. But I don't know if the mic picked that up or not. But it was kind of distracting to me. But yeah, we'll figure that out. So, okay, Jack, here you go. Hold on a second.
John. Fred had the same problem Monday night when I was recording his message. And if you're coming in on a wireless connection, a lot of times you pick up an outside signal.
Okay, yeah, we'll figure something out. Thanks, Trophimus. We'll figure something out to do. And if we have to just reteach it... So I had to do to bad sounds. I see. Okay, Carol. Thanks, Carol, for that comment too. We'll figure something out. And so if we have to reteach it, say next Wednesday, or if what I might do is just try to teach it separately, and then that way next Wednesday we can go on to chapter number 8. But I'll discuss it with Dan, and we'll come up with a solution for this. So okay, thanks for the feedback there, by the way. All right, well, Dan, say hi to Irv up there, Irv and Jan, and hope he's doing well. And remember, guys, we'll be back on tonight, 7:30, for a regular Wednesday night session. And, of course, remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Thanks, and have a great day. We'll see you tonight. Bye now.